that it means that if most of what I have to say is recorded, it will liberate you from feeling that you need to remember any of it that you might find useful or write it down. Because I think what I would invite you to do in the context of being here and really simplifying your experience of being here, not just turning off mobile phones, as Liz was requesting, and equally, of course, tablets and all other forms of sort of electronic communications and information devices, apart from that one, which is recording me, we'll allow that to be on, that there's a way in which we just kind of can put things to one side a little bit. It doesn't mean pushing our lives away, but just putting things down. Putting things down is really something helpful for us and will be certainly something that contributes to what's possible for us to receive in this day. So turning off the phones, and silence in this context means avoiding texting and avoiding looking up useful piece of information that you might want to know. Just that whole way we interact with the world through either exchanging sort of communication with people we know or seeking information through the various channels available to us. That really, for this day, the invitation is to make our primary orientation towards the inner communication that's happening in our heart, our mind, our body. And the information that's available to us through that direct engagement with our experience. So not through seeking information or understanding through thinking about experience, but more through becoming very intimate with it, allowing ourselves to touch more deeply and be touched more deeply by our very life. So the practice and the teachings that I'll be offering over this day are drawn very much from the teachings of the Buddha, and in common sort of conversation might be described as Buddhist meditation or Buddhist teachings. And I just want to acknowledge that in terms of both honoring the sort of the original source of a lot of this teaching and material, but also to name that that's not in itself meant to set up a framework in which we're then signing up for some ideology or belief system or becoming part of some religious activity or organization. That the Buddha was a human being like ourselves, and whose interest in his life and the nature of life itself led him to some remarkable understanding and discoveries, which he shared with other people who were interested, who shared with other people who were interested, who shared with other people who were interested, who, and that's what's happening here. There's a continuing sharing of something that I think is of deep interest to us as human beings, in terms of what does it mean to live well? What really serves us in terms of fulfilling our deepest aspirations for our life and our deepest aspirations for our world? So much of what our culture has established in terms of a very materialistic orientation doesn't really meet our needs in the deepest sense, and easily leads to a degree of alienation and disconnection from each other, from others, and at times from ourselves. So meditation in itself is an invitation to connect more deeply with our life and to understand what supports that. And in relationship to the primary theme of the day, compassion, and what it is to engage compassionately in life, I think one could usefully understand meditation as a compassionate response to the situation we find ourselves in, where for so many of us we are pressured, stressed, driven, fragmented, and often not easily able to rest where we are, not easily able to be at ease with what we are or how we are. And so the initial invitation is really just to see what would it be to come to rest where we are and to know the truth of that experience without trying to fix it, manipulate it, or analyze it, but to just meet where we are. And so that's really the entry point of the day and of this practice. Compassion is essentially a response to the condition of life that we experience that's difficult, that's painful, that's not easy for us. And we all encounter this in different ways. And the Buddha's choice to teach the teachings that he offered was similarly a compassionate response, to wish to offer something to the world, to ease the suffering and the pain, the confusion and the struggle, the alienation and the disconnection that at times is part of all of our lives, and for some is perhaps a dominant characteristic of how life is experienced. And I think this is, certainly for myself, was one of the primary things that drew me to meditation, looking to understand how is life, how did it come to be this way, and what will make a difference. So it's very much a pragmatic teaching. It's not about somehow the right, the best, or the only way, but does it work? What works? And how does it work to live this life? So we'll begin with some meditation, and I'll give further guidance and instruction as we go along, but just initially having some time to land right here, to begin where we are. Engaging in meditation in this context isn't just about some kind of mental training exercise or skill development, although those are parts of it. But it's actually founded in an ethical intentionality, which is to wish for oneself and for others to not cause harm to others and to contribute to the well-being of oneself and others. So that the practice of meditation is something that, if it's to be really transformational for us and in our world, needs to be allied with an underlying orientation or intention towards well-being, towards happiness. And understanding that we in our actions and in our lives can at times contribute to suffering for ourselves and contribute to suffering for others, just as others may contribute to suffering we experience. But acknowledging that just beginning with that intentionality, that at least for this time, one's intention is to not cause harm to others, to refrain from anything which may cause harm to oneself or others. And in the traditions described or articulated in the five ethical guidelines or precepts, to refrain from taking life of others, any living being, to refrain from taking things which aren't ours or misusing things that aren't ours, to refrain from causing harm through sexuality, refrain from causing harm through speech, and to refrain from the use of intoxicants, alcohol, drugs. And these things may in some ways seem rather obvious, and we might take them for granted in our lives. And yet, it's not always the case for everyone that that's so. And there's something important about naming it, about saying, okay, this is an intention I hold. And certainly for myself, I would ask, if that's not already the case, that for this day, it be an intention you consider taking on, at least for this day. Even if you don't expect to encounter any opportunity where you'd have the possibility of doing otherwise, because probably there might not be such opportunities. And yet something about just, what is it to make this a foundation of our life? This is part of the meditation practice, to be sensitive to the impact of our actions in life. And that at a very immediate level, the way we pay attention to our experience is a primary expression of how we act in life, the inner action of our attentiveness, to be able to be in contact with our bodies, our hearts, and our minds with a kindly attitude caring attitude, and yet with a certain firmness of intentionality, of gentle self-discipline, to engage in a way that's also wholesome, being aware that for most of us our habits are of distractedness and of reactivity in ways that don't necessarily serve our well-being. So in the meditation, the primary intention is towards making contact directly with our experience, coming to know in an unmediated way what it is that's happening right now. We can spend much of our lives in the realm of thinking, the realm of words, the realm of language, ideas, concepts. And powerful and useful as that world can be, it also has its pitfalls and easily becomes overly dominant in our experience as human beings, it seems. So for the meditation, just coming into contact with your body as you're sitting here, making that the first port of call, so to speak, and just taking a moment to notice what it's like for you right now to be sitting here in this room as you are. How it is that your body feels. There's not a right way to sit in the sense of it's fine to sit on a chair or to use a bench or to be cross-legged on the floor or kneeling, as you may be. But there are some principles that are universally helpful. And the first is to actually let yourself feel what it's like that your body weight is resting upon the ground. To let the weight of your body be consciously experienced as it presses into the floor or the seat or the cushion or whatever it is that your feet or your knees or your bottom is resting upon. Just noticing what that's like. Simple firmness or hardness or coolness or warmth, solidity, or whatever that experience is for you. And then just taking a moment to feel the uprightness of your torso, the upper body, the way it rises up from the pelvis. If you're sitting in a chair, it's really helpful to have your feet flat on the ground if you can. Not to be sort of having your legs crossed or sort of pointed out in front of you. So your feet are on the ground. And to actually sit up. So for many that will mean either tucking one's bottom quite sort of firmly into the base of the chair or sitting more towards the front of the chair and supporting the torso upright rather than using the back of the chair. That's actually really helpful, but for not everyone is it so easily accessible. But that quality of uprightness is actually really helpful, really useful. Primary framework for the body, but also for the mind. A sense of being in contact with the ground and yet also upright. She's supporting the body to be uncompressed or uncompacted, we could say, in the way when we slump forward or sort of slouch, we often put pressure on the interior organs of the body, not really giving them the space that they need to breathe, to move, to sustain us in the way that they do ongoingly, moment by moment. So a simple compassionate response to the body is to allow it to be open, uncollapsed, we could say. And noticing what it feels like to just consciously allow your body to be upright. Might require a little attention to the lower back. See if the common tendency to collapse a little bit there is, if that's happening at all. Without overextending the small curve in the lower back, nonetheless just sensing to see if it's in any way collapsing there. So quite upright through the torso. Maybe just take a moment to open your eyes and just look and see if your body's reasonably upright. It's sometimes good to check because we don't always quite know. So Sometimes it takes a little while to learn what that feels like on the inside. Then as you, again, just sensing or establishing that upright quality, giving attention to the quality of relaxation too. What it is to allow the body to be soft and to be open without losing that upright quality. It's allowing your attention to rest in this experience of your body sitting here, feeling what that's like. Just noticing if there are any places of tension or tightness right now, holding. See if you can invite, gently allow your body to relax without collapsing. So there might be areas of tension that we're holding in our face, around the eyes or the cheeks, the mouth or the jaw. Just becoming aware of that. Not being judgmental of it or trying to figure out why it's that way, but if there is tension or holding, just allowing it to be felt and gently inviting it to release, without trying to make it do so. Likewise, noticing the area around the neck and the shoulders, allowing that too to soften, to open, so far as it can, just now. Allowing this body to express a quality of alert and yet relaxed presence. Being here in this way. Feeling into this experience. Bringing your attention into your body. Becoming aware also of the breathing that moves in your body as you sit here. Tuning yourself to the sensations, the vibration, the direct experience of what's taking place as your body breathes in and as your body breathes out. Allowing it to breathe just as it does. No idea of trying to improve it or adjust it, but becoming sensitive to it, whether long or short, rough or smooth, or deep or shallow. Allowing this experience to be the central focus for your attention. A place in which you can gather, collect, and reconnect with what's happening right here. And there may be streams of thought or association that arise for you, images, memories. When you notice your mind is being drawn into thinking, without judging or blaming in any way the fact that that's happened, just letting it go by bringing your attention back into your body, making contact with the breathing that's taking place right here and right now. Pursuing or trying to hold on to the breathing experience, but more allowing yourself to receive it. letting this experience come to you, just as it does. Knowing it just as it is, moment by moment, breath by breath. Being present right here, right now. With this experience of body breathing, just as you are. Notice your attention is drawn to sounds or images, thoughts, whatever arises, just acknowledging that experience too, but not pursuing or rejecting it, simply reconnecting, returning your attention to this immediacy of sitting here, body sitting here, breathing, letting yourself be in contact with that direct experience. What it is that lets you know that your body is sitting here right now, that your body is breathing right now, just as it is. when you hear the sound of the bell ringing, just listen to the sound, making that part of the meditation, just being present to receive that experience. As it arises, continues for a little while, and then fades away. And only when the sound has faded and gone to regard then the formal meditation is concluded.